Hello once again, and let me be very clear that we are not fooling around on this April 1st edition of Musings on Golf. I am Kelly Elbin, he is Bob Bupka, and Robert, we've got a great show today with Eric Cole as our special guest. We'll also look back at Minwoo Lee finally getting his first PGA Tour victory. We'll remember Dave Pels and a few other things. But starting off with Eric Cole, the son of professional golfers Bobby Cole and Laura Baugh, 2022-23 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. But Bob, there's a lot of story, Eric Cole, in terms of overcoming some health issues. On his website, Bob, at the end, it says that Eric Cole is the illustration of perseverance, skill, and the enduring spirit of golf. And I think that says a lot about a young man who I really want to root for every time he tees it up.
So well said, Kelly. And, you know, what a burden. What a burden on Eric Cole. Not only to have a mother that's a professional golfer, but to have a father that's a professional golfer. You can't help but wonder what expectations this young man had rushing through his head as he was ascending into professional golf.
Yeah, great points. He and his six siblings, they would travel with Laura on the LPGA Tour. He's the one who kind of caught the golf bug more than any of the others. He was, but the thing about what I like about Eric, he's kind of a down-to-earth, relatively quiet guy. He was diagnosed, Bob, in his sophomore year in college with type 1 diabetes, also another autoimmune disease called Addison's disease. And it really set him back, as would anybody. But eventually, he worked his way through mini tour victories. 65 of them, Bob. 65 mini tour wins. He played on the Korn Ferry Tour. And then at the age of 35, became the second oldest rookie of the year on the PGA Tour in 2022 and 23. Never give up is the motto for some when it comes to professional golf, Robert.
And I got another description for Mr. Eric Cole. The absolute, beyond any question of a doubt, the courage of a mountain lion.
Yeah, no question. For a relatively small guy, he does have that indeed. It was good to see him also. He tied for 15th at the Texas Children's Hospital Houston Open over the weekend. I know he'll be playing this week at the Valero Texas Open to try to find that spot into a little tournament called the Masters. Okay, Bob, you and I talked to Eric last week. I know our listeners are going to really enjoy this, and you'll hear from Eric Cole right after you hear from our terrific corporate partners, our friends at William & Harry and Titleist. Our friends at William & Harry are always looking for ways to stand out in the crowd. So for anyone who belongs to a country club, William & Harry can have your shoes private labeled to fit your specific needs. The same applies to your company or any organization you might be affiliated with. This makes you a clear winner. Why? Well, you have a better quality shoe that feels great, and you have the logo of your club, company, or organization on your shoes that really makes you stand out on the golf course. To learn more, visit williamandharry.com today and be sure to input our promotional code 15OFF, M-O-G, for a 15% discount at williamandharry.com.
Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are the best performing, most consistent in the game. So how does the best get better? You start by listening to the best players in the world. You experiment, iterate, validate. You trust the best process to create the best golf ball the game has ever known. The all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. More speed off the tee. More control with your irons. More spin with the wedges. And more opportunity to shoot your lowest scores.
Well, Bob, among the current players on the PGA Tour, I cannot imagine that anyone has been more resilient in his life than our guest today. He was the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year for the 2022-23 season, yet that only begins to tell his remarkable story, which includes dealing with major health issues and enduring multiple tries to get through the PGA Tour Q School. He's the son of two terrific players, Bobby Cole and Laura Ball, and he continues to make his own name on tour. What a treat to welcome Eric Cole to Musings on Golf. Eric, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Hey, Eric, Bob Bupke here, and this is amazing. You're the only person I think I can ask this question to, which was easier, having your dad as the pro or having your mom as the pro?
Yeah, no, it was great having both of them. So I kind of had two different avenues to learn about golf and be around golf. So it was great from a young age to, you know, just have both of them influence me.
How did you get involved with Arnold Palmer?
Yeah, so I, when I was growing up in Orlando, my mom got remarried when I was about 14 or 15, and he was a member at Bay Hill. So one of the perks for me that came with that is I got to practice and play out of Bay Hill starting when I was like a freshman or sophomore in high school. So just being out there, I became very good friends, and one of my best friends to this day is Sam Saunders. So kind of grew up with him and played a lot of golf with him. And just by extension, being around him, I got to play a lot with Mr. Palmer and be around him. And something that was really special and influential for me to just be able to say that I spent time around him and see how he treated people, and the care he put into Bay Hill and Latrobe up in Pennsylvania was really cool to see, and just how much he cared about golf and people. And, you know, like I said, it was influential and really cool experience for me.
Eric Cole, special guest here on Musings on Golf, and it's a big privilege for us to have you, Eric. Let me ask you, did your hands get any bigger knowing Arnold Palmer?
No, I wish. But yeah, he had always had a firm handshake, and you know, it was cool to see him grip a club. That was a big thing about with him, is making sure that your grip was, in his case, how his dad taught him, but just that your grip was really good and your fundamentals were good. So yeah, definitely cool to see.
You remember the first time you ever played with him? I mean, I know growing up with your dad and your mom, you're around a lot of people, but was there ever a moment like, man, for goodness sakes, I'm teeing the ball up next to Mr. Palmer?
Yeah, I mean, I've played with him a decent amount, but the one that sticks out the most is I went up to Pennsylvania with Sam to play a mini tour event up there, actually a section event that they invite playing pros to, called the Frank Fuhrer Invitational at Pittsburgh Field Club. And when we were up there, we went up a couple of days early and stayed in Latrobe, and we played Latrobe with Mr. Palmer a few times, and then we went over and played Laurel Valley, which is a really sweet course up there. And that's kind of the one that sticks out, because it wasn't at Bay Hill. It wasn't as casual as some of the others. And so to go up there and kind of play with him, it was his two grandsons, Sam Saunders, Will Wares, and me. So it was a pretty nice foursome for me.
Wow.
Hey, Eric, let me ask you this. Was it destined that you were going to be a golf pro?
It's a good question. I'd say I always wanted to be, just traveling around with my mom, especially at a young age. Seeing what a professional golfer's life looks like, I always wanted to do that. And so it was always on the agenda for me. But, you know, it took me a very long time to get to the PGA Tour, and had a lot of turns in the road to get there. So I'd like to think it was destined, but, you know, nothing's really for sure in professional golf. And I definitely doubted it a little, but it was always something that I dreamed of doing, and definitely put a lot of effort into.
How old were you when you thought you had the talent?
I probably when I was like a freshman in high school, I kind of realized that I was a little bit better than maybe some other kids my age. And like I said, being around my parents and seeing what professional golf can do for your life and how much fun it is, and you know, competing in tournaments is something I always loved. So probably when I was maybe 14 or 15 years old, I kind of saw all those things kind of coming together, and it was like, this is what I want to focus on.
Hey, Eric, let me ask you this. What was it like for you to be like one of seven siblings on the road with your mom at LPGA events.
Yeah, for me it was cool. I'm the second oldest. So when I was really young, I was in, like the LPGA Tour daycare and stuff. But when I got a little older, my little brothers and sisters would have to go to daycare. Not have to, but I mean, it's not like it's bad. But I was lucky enough to where I was old enough to go out and watch my mom. And I thought that was really special to kind of be, even though it was only because I was older, but it felt special to me to be the one that kind of got to go out and watch her play a lot. And so yeah, I mean, but it was great having so many brothers and sisters, and they all play golf a little bit. I'm the only one that takes it too seriously and plays it professionally, but having golf around and that many brothers and sisters was great growing up.
Before we go further, I want to just step back in regards to Mr. Palmer. Did you caddy for him at the Bay Hill Invitation at his event?
No, I never caddied for him. I caddied for Sam at Bay
Oh,
Hill in
okay.
the tournament probably two times ish.
Yeah.
I also caddied for Sam a few other times on tour. I caddied for him at the Players and a couple other US Open and a few times when he was having success and I was still playing mini tour golf. But no, never caddied for Mr. Palmer. That would have been pretty sweet.
You learn though in caddying for Sam, what was that like, sort of being on the other side of the bag, literally, and as far as how you may have seen the game a little bit differently?
Yeah, it was great for me to see. I'd already been around professional golf quite a bit, like we talked about, because of my parents. But it's good to see. Like when you watch golf on TV, sometimes you just see great shot after great shot, highlights, guys playing the best weeks of a lot of times their careers. So it was good to see that there are bad shots hit on the PGA Tour. There are bad rounds that are played. So it was kind of a little bit of maybe not took pressure off me, but it was just a real c confirmation of what I kind of already thought and knew a little bit, that you don't have to play perfect golf every week to have success in professional golf.
We record this. It's the Tuesday of the tour event in Houston. That'll be your 12th, I think your 12th event of the year. You've got a few. I think you've got three top 25s. How do you judge your season to this point?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I haven't had a ton of success. I played good in Hawaii, finished fifth in Hawaii, and played decent in Tampa last week. But the results really haven't been there like I wanted them to be. But my game does feel close. I've had on and off days ball striking, and then on and off days putting, and they just kind of haven't really matched up too well. So I think my game's trending in the right direction. But yeah, not the best start to the year, but I see some signs of good things in the near future, hopefully.
You know, I learned a lot just looking at your website, ericcolegolf.com. It's really good. And you have a quote at the top, and it says, "It's been a long journey and definitely some bumps in the road." Can you talk about, I guess maybe you'd call it the first bump, and what you dealt with your sophomore season? You're playing on the golf team at Nova Southeastern University at in Fort Lauderdale. Sounds like you had a pretty good freshman season, and then some medical issues started popping up as a sophomore, right?
Yeah, it was kind of weird for me. I'd been healthy my whole life. Never, I was barely really sick or anything. And I started losing a bunch of weight and had no energy, and just wasn't feeling good and something wasn't right. And long story short, I ended up going to the hospital and getting diagnosed with two autoimmune diseases. So one is Addison's disease, which is affects your adrenal glands and the hormones they produce, and the other one is type 1 diabetes. So it was kind of a definitely a shock for me and a big life-changing event. And it took me a while to kind of figure out how to manage them and all the effort that goes into that, and still working on it to this day. But yeah, no, it was not what I was expecting to deal with, and but something that definitely has taught me a lot of responsibility and being prepared and stuff like that. So it's try and look at the positives of it, and if you manage them well and do what you're supposed to do, it isn't too life altering.
And you've got in your golf bag with you at all times. You've got things that you would need because of the type 1 diabetes, right?
Yeah, for sure. So, pretty much, my body doesn't naturally produce insulin, which is what your body produces when you eat carbohydrates or sugar. So, a normal person would eat something and their body produces insulin and that lowers your blood sugar. So, I have to do that artificially through synthetic insulin that I give myself whenever I eat. And it's just kind of balancing that, giving yourself the right amount of insulin for what you're eating. And, you know, there's always some wild cards in there. So, I always have like either candy or something with some sugar in it in case I give myself too much insulin. So, diabetes is, you know, a lifelong thing. You manage it every day, 24/7. But as long as you're prepared, it's definitely a lot more manageable, and you can kind of get yourself out of whatever situation you end up in.
You turned professional, and then you really became kind of the king of the minor league golf tour. I is that strictly you won 56 times, right? Is that strictly a Florida, a series of events in Florida, like one day events? What are they? What is that tour?
Yeah, so Minor League Golf Tour is specifically one mini tour that operates all in South Florida, Southeast Florida. So from like Stuart to Miami, pretty much. They have mostly 1 and 2 day events. Occasionally they have a 3 day event, but mostly 1 and 2 day events. And they kind of operate for the most part all year long. So if you don't have status on one of the bigger tours, then in my case, I was playing a lot of those. And if you play enough of them and play some decent golf, you kind of rack up some wins. So, but yeah, so I think it was a great tour for me. You know, when you're playing 1 day events, it kind of mirrors a lot what Monday qualifiers is.
Yeah.
You have the chance to win a lot of tournaments, which is a really good skill to learn. You know, I need to play a good back nine, or a la I need to birdie 2 of the last 3 holes, or whatever it is. So. I think putting that pressure on yourself in a tournament atmosphere is something that's kind of priceless in professional golf. And that's one of the benefits of playing 1 day events or even 2 day events. You kind of get in that position where you kind of need to make something happen or finish strong a lot. And I think it was very helpful and impactful for me having any success that I've had.
Now, I would think that would really kind of steel you or harden you in a good way, right? I mean, it made you incredibly competitive, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to be. You know, there's not a lot of money on those mini tours, and
What'd you play for? How much?
well, a typical one was you like it's almost like gambling a little bit. Like everyone puts up $200 roughly for an entry fee, $200 to $300, and then first place is probably like 1200-ish. I mean, they vary depending on how many guys are playing and stuff, but. So yeah, I mean, it's not a get rich thing. It's more about just kind of sharpening your skills, seeing where your game's at, and then, like I said, kind of learning that if you don't have it that day, how to get the most out of it so you still get a check, or to where you get your money back at least. And then, like I said, having a chance to win is always a good thing. And you know, it doesn't matter what it is. The idea of winning is a big deal, and putting that pressure on yourself and performing is definitely a feather in your cap.
You know, so many people told me that you were aces, and now with the pleasure of having you here on Musings, I certainly concur with that. Yeah, you're an outstanding young man. You made your mom and dad very proud. You can't do anything better in this world than accomplish those two feats.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's a nice thing to say. I certainly try and do the right thing as much as I can, and thank you.
Yeah, we're joined by Eric Cole, who is on here. This is what, your third full season then on the PGA Tour,
Yeah,
right?
third year. Yes, sir.
Eric, I'm wondering, golf's hard in so many ways. Man, it was really fascinating, first of all, to see Victor Hovland, who said he really didn't even think you could win, won at Valspar. You had Sahith Theegala firing a club. You've got Adam Hadwin destroying a sprinkler system. I mean, Patton Kizzire, you know, booting a putter. It's hard. And I'm wondering for you from a strictly from a psychological standpoint, you went to Q school, what, six times
Yeah, a
before you
lot.
got
I
you.
don't know the
I mean,
exact number, but that sounds right.
what's that? What's that like in terms of still believing in yourself and shrugging off the negatives that so much of that golf can bring so easily?
Yeah, I think that's one of the tough things about golf is how thin the margins are, kind of at every level. So, you could already be out on the PGA Tour and having success or not, the margin's thin. Getting to the PGA Tour, the margin's thin. So, that's just kind of like the nature of golf, like I said, at any level. And for me, I had a lot of friends and family that were great. Like a support team for me that kind of just kept telling me to keep trying and keep doing it. And that's very helpful when things aren't going your way. But yeah, I mean, I think playing golf with a lot of guys that had success on the PGA Tour was helpful too, to see, when I was home and played with them, my game felt like it was pretty similar and stacked up well. So that helped too. And then playing mini tour events and having success in those kind of reaffirms it as well. So even though Q School wasn't going the right way, I could still see some positive signs and had those people around me telling me I was doing the right things and to, keep pushing, to try and get there.
No, I was just going to say, you're going to do a lot of fine things in this world because you're extremely talented. But to make your mom and dad proud, you can't do anything. You could win 100 US Opens and it wouldn't equal making your mom and dad proud. It's been outstanding, and I mean outstanding, having you here on Musings on Golf.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, no, I one of the coolest things about my career so far is winning Rookie of the Year, my rookie year, so in 2022, 2023, which my mom won Rookie of the Year in 1973 on the LPGA Tour, so exactly 50 years before I won it. So, like you said, I mean, I could win a lot of tournaments and do a lot of stuff like that, but that's got to be the most impactful or coolest thing, and to share that with her has been really special. And it's been a kind of a wild ride the last 3 years or so.
Speaking of your mom, I mean, she posts a lot on Facebook with you on the range. Does she work with you at all, Eric? Or how's it worked through the years? Or are you more self-taught than anything else?
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of there as a sounding board when golf inevitably gets frustrating and difficult. Definitely ask her, little questions and stuff. But she teaches down at Palencia in St. Augustine, so she is busy doing that. But she's there if I need her, which is the biggest thing to have that. And but on a day-to-day, I kind of just do my own thing and try and keep it as simple as possible and just focus on getting the ball in the hole as few shots as I can.
I know you also had a stress fracture in your back that really sidelined you, but I kind of do want to go ahead to that rookie year. You had your club stolen, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. I had them stolen twice, is that what I had to think about. I had it stolen my last year on Korn Ferry Tour in Wichita. Someone broke out the back window of my rental car, and then almost the exact same thing happened in Vegas my rookie year. Broad daylight, middle of the day. I just checked into the hotel and left my clubs in there because I was going to the course right after I checked in and came out, and clubs were gone. So, yeah, it wasn't the best start to my rookie year. I think that was like maybe my third or fourth tournament, something
But
like
what do you
that.
do? What happens? Did you get them back? What happens?
Luckily, PXG, my club sponsor, is there with kind of everything you need, and they just made up another set. And it was relatively as seamless as it could be. But yeah, I mean, it's not a great scenario. You're always every club's a little bit different, even though they're identical. Like they say, they feel a little different, look a little different, and especially like putter and driver are really tough to kind of get exactly the same. So a little bit of a curveball, but it's all good.
I guess with everything else that's happened in life, you just deal with it and move on, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have my clubs in my car anymore, I can tell you that,
I bet you,
even for
yeah.
30 minutes. Yeah, so those kind
I
of go
bet.
wherever I go.
We're on our closing holes with PGA Tour player Eric Cole here. on Musings on Golf. 2022-23 was a magical year, obviously. You know, and looking at the statistics, and you probably know this, well, you had six top five finishes. Only Scottie Scheffler, Rory, Patrick Cantlay, and Jon Rahm had more top five finishes that year. Eric, what clicked? What happened that year to finish as the rookie of the year?
I wish I could kind of pinpoint it because I would try and go back to it. But yeah, no, it was a great year. Kind of kicked off with Honda in my hometown down in South Florida and played well there and kind of just snowballed from there to where I really just had a really consistent, solid year. And you know, the fall was really good too. Had a good finish to the year. So yeah, I wish I knew exactly what it was, but I try and keep my game pretty simple. So I'm kind of working on similar stuff now that I was then. And I think that's just how thin the margins are, and stuff can click for a little while and you can have a great run.
What are you working on now?
Pretty similar stuff. I kind of do the same two or three drills with my full swing. So I do a drill where I put a inflatable ball between my arms to kind of keep my arms more connected to my body and kind of everything turning together at the same speed. So I do that one, and then a lot of simple like alignment fundamentals stuff to just try to get everything back to where I've seen and had success from. So, you know, my setup isn't necessarily perfect, but I try and get it as close to when I feel like I've been hitting the ball the best in the past, and trying to just kind of work off that as I'm just trying to get back to what works best for me.
And actually, two final questions. I would imagine because you were not the typical 23-year-old rookie when you won the Rookie of the Year. You'd been around for a while. I think the second oldest, if you will. But I would imagine you weren't necessarily in awe of any of those guys when you teed it up as a quote rookie, were you?
Not so much. I think I kind of knew what I was expecting for the most part. You know, I'd played Korn Ferry I'd been out on tour a little bit. The top guys are very, very good, and they can give you that awe when you play with them or see them hitting balls. So the biggest thing for me was to not get caught up in that and not change anything that I'm doing based on what others are doing. So my goal was just to be as prepared for every week as I could. Make sure I'm doing the right things on and off the course.
A final question for me, and it's one that I ask of our guests typically at the end. If you could round out kind of a dream foursome, Eric Cole, with three other people, whether living or deceased, who would those three be, and where would you play that really cool round of golf?
That's a great question. Normally, I answer my mom is part of it and family and stuff. But it's funny because we actually had that conversation today playing a practice round here in Houston, like your dream foursome. And I had this new thought where I think I would choose guys who have passed away but were prolifically known as for something. So like Ben Hogan would be part of it. Mo Norman would be part of it. And then my third was going to be Bobby Locke, who's my dad's South African, and he was known as one of the best putters of all time. So I would like to see them in person, and kind of see if all the stories and the, you know, stuff around them that said how great they were. I would like to see that in person and kind of watch it and, you know, that. So I think that would be cool. So that's my new answer. It's funny you asked that question because we were talking about it today. But where it would be, I would say probably Augusta would be the one. I mean, I think if you have one last round to play or anything like that, Augusta kind of comes up as that one that sticks out to me.
And I know that these next 2 weeks are big for you to get back in the field for the Masters. Hey, Eric Cole, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. Wishing you well. Stay healthy and continue good luck on tour. Just like you, I want to look good and perform at my best on the golf course. And that's exactly why I wear the new WH golf shoes from William & Harry, and you should too. Folks, I love these golf shoes. They're made of deer skin and calf skin. They've got a soft gel insert, and the reinforced hardened soft spikes increase stability and balance. And I got to tell you, they are so incredibly comfortable. So head on over to williamandharry.com to check out the new WH golf shoe. Look your best, play your best with William and Harry. Well, Bob, as I said going into that interview, Eric Cole is the type of individual you want to see succeed. He's overcome a lot. He is, you know, he's like a lot of the guys out there. There's not a lot of difference with a lot of guys, but I'm rooting for this guy to have his big week, win a tournament, keep things going. He's the kind of guy that really the PGA Tour stands for in a lot of good ways.
That's very well said, Kelly, because I think the entire golf family would be elated. I mean, elated over a Eric Cole victory.
So the entire golf community, Robert, saw Minwoo Lee finally get that first victory on the PGA Tour at the Texas Children's Hospital Houston Open. It was a matter of time. Too much talent. Way too much talent. But Bob, he made it a bit dramatic, which made for good golf television down the stretch. He led by 5 going to the back 9. And not out of nowhere, but our buddy Gary Woodland shoots like a rocket at the end, ends up shooting 62 for his best finish since brain surgery, Bob, in 2023. Wonderful story with Gary Woodland there, but really happy for Minwoo Lee. Had a 15 or 55 footer on the last hole, tapped it up to inches to get that first win. And yeah, the guy who also tied for second, fellow named Scottie Scheffler. So he held off 2 major champions, 2 really good players to get that first win, Bob.
He certainly did. And let's get one thing clear. I mean, the name may be deceptive, but he is Australian. So, yes. But what a victory by Minwoo.
Yeah, and Minji Lee, his older sister, she's a major champion. And, you know, the talent runs in the blood there. And Bob, we have not heard, in my opinion, the last of Minwoo Lee when it comes to finding the winner's circle on the PGA Tour. Let's hear what he had to say about the very first win for him on the PGA Tour.
They always say, you know, the 6 inches between your ears. I think that was a big part of this week. You know, I always felt like I had the assets to win. It was just, can you do it mentally? You know, obviously a couple slip-ups, especially on 16, the drive, but played it very wonderful golf all week and really, really solid. And, you know, that I only won by 1, and it's tough. Keep doing what I'm doing, and it's a lot of mental. These guys that win, they're mentally strong. Props to the guys that win week in, week out. I mean, it is very hard. You know, even though a 4-shot lead is not safe, it is tough. And just again, so proud. And let's keep doing it.
You know what's funny about winning? No matter how well you play, you always run the risk of somebody having a lights out day and you don't win. You would have won the previous, let's say, previous 5 or 6 weeks, but on your week, somebody goes lights out and victory is snatched from you, but not this time. Congratulations. Great victory by Mr. Minwoo Lee.
Yeah, well said. And that those 6 inches he talks about between the ears, Bob, that's one of the great challenges every time we tee it up is the mental side. Bob, I was really sorry to hear about the passing of Dave Pels at age 85. I'm not sure, Bob, anyone has had a greater impact on the short game and the emphasis on the importance of the short game than Dave Pels.
No, I think you're right, Kelly. He was the master. Nobody any better than Dave Pels. And what a nice guy. And he was always so good to Musings on Golf. And our listeners really appreciated any of his efforts that he would put forth.
14 years, he was a research scientist at NASA before he decided to make golf his day-to-day. The three-ball putter teaching device he created eventually led to the incredibly popular Odyssey two-ball putter. Worked closely with Phil Mickelson. He worked closely with Tom Kite. He helped so many people in the short game. I thought this quote that Mickelson posted on social media was lovely. He said, "I have so many things to say about this incredible man. I owe so much of my success to the many things he taught me, and he lives on as I share those same insights to numerous other golfers. The laughs we shared along the way is what I cherish most, and I look forward to paying tribute to this great man with Pell stories in the near future. Rest in peace, my friend." Everything I ever heard about Dave Pell's Bob, and you knew him a little bit, just a really good man.
Very good man, and so great to hear Phil talk about Dave in those glowing terms. He deserved every one of them. Dave Pelz was not only a genius, Dave Pelz was a good guy. Dave Pelz was good for golf.
No question about it. And good for golf coming up, Bob. Big week. We've got the Augusta National Women's Amateur, which concludes Saturday at Augusta National Golf Club. We have the Drive, Chip, and Putt contest. That's Sunday at Augusta National. And then Masters Week begins on Monday. A guy who I know very much wants to win that green jacket, Corey Connors, had three top 10 finishes in consecutive years in 2020, 2021, and 2022. Corey will be our guest next week as we look ahead to the Masters. Hey, by the way, his fellow countryman, Taylor Pendrith, previous guest, tied for fifth in Houston. So you never know what might take place. But you and I have already talked with Corey. Bob, Corey Connors, I like his chances, to be quite honest with you, as a dark horse at the Masters.
Well, he's a great putter, and that's all you have to say when you want to ascertain somebody's chances of winning that green jacket. And first and foremost, you better be a great putter, and Corey Connors fits that description very well.
Beautifully said. And as I said at the start of this, there was not going to be any fooling around. Hope everybody has a fun April 1st day. Bob Bupka, it's been great to be with you once again here on Musings on Golf.